presents I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello. Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the panel game that's done for comedy what Gareth Hunt did for rhyming slang. We come to you from historic Stratford, where thousands of visitors flock each year to admire and wonder at the site that once launched our nation's greatest theatrical career, or to marvel at the place where his wife once lived by visiting Emma Thompson's cottage. We're located in the magnificent Royal Shakespeare Theatre, and by way of a tribute to our noble surroundings, this final show in the current series will take a strictly Shakespearean theme. Now, Stratford isn't only about fine stage performances from well-rehearsed professionals. Oh, no. So let's meet the teams. They are on my left. Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. On my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke-Taylor. And warm applause, please, for our scorer, the lady who sits on my left hand. The delightful Samantha. Our first round... Have you finished? Our first round is entitled Shakespearean Headlines. In days of yore, teams, long before the invention of newspapers, events of great importance were recorded in tapestries hung in our national buildings to be inspected by the public and then taken down on Fridays to wrap around their fish and chips. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to come up with some likely newspaper headlines that one might have expected to find in the papers after a certain event recorded by Shakespeare. The event is The Unfortunate Demise of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark. Barry, you start, please.
Dog Breeders' Gazette. Great Dane puts self down.
The Times. Blair says whittling down of royal family a success.
The Stage. Touring players unexpectedly available for panto.
The Daily Express reprints Ophelia's panorama interview in full, where she says a surfeit of lampreys was just a cry for help.
The Guardian, yesterday's headline, Laughter at Elsinore, should have read Slaughter. At Erinsborough.
In a thundering headline, the Sun tells the Prince, just be.
The Telegraph, Danish bloodbath, no Britons hurt.
Any more? I say, let's try another. This time it's The Regrettable Demise of Macbeth, Thane of Cawdor.
Gay news, Macbeth outed, admits laying on Macduff.
The Guardian, Boreham Wood seen approaching Dungeness.
The Sun, phew, what a Scotchman.
And The Scotsman. The headline is, Och, Eye of Newt.
The Glasgow Herald, pioneering test tube baby kills king.
And Woman's Own, Delia's recipe for Dunkin' Donuts.
Any more?
The London Evening Standard. Tube strike off.
Okay, well, our next round, musical Shakespeare, is hugely entertaining. except for listeners in Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales and England. In this round, teams, I'd like you to sing the words of various popular Shakespearean passages to certain well-known contemporary tunes of my choosing. You'll be accompanied on the piano by Colin Sell, one of the finest musicians of the day. Of course, when night comes, something seems to desert him. Tim, I'd like you to start by singing the If Music Be the Food of Love speech from Twelfth Night to the tune of Hernando's Hideaway.
If music be the food of love, play on, give me excess of it. That's fitting the appetite. May sick and so die, but that strength again. It had a flying fall, oh, it came, oh, my ear, like the sweet hound that breathes upon a bank of violets. Stealing and giving, odor enough, no more. Olé.
Samantha has just told me that she can't keep the score because she couldn't hear Tim then for Colin Sell banging away.
I've just realised why there isn't a television version of it.
Barry, would you please sing The Quality of Mercy Is Not Strained from The Merchant of Venice to the tune of Leaning on a Lamppost.
The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed, oh mother. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throne. It monarch better than its crown. Its sceptre shows the fall of temporal power. The attribute to order mercy be within the sin, the dread and fear of kings. But turned out nice again.
Graham, will you please sing the Blow Winds and Crack Your Cheeks speech from King Lear to the tune of As Time Goes By?
Blow winds and crack your cheeks, rage blow you cataracts and hurricane o' spow, till you have drenched our steeples, drowned the cocks.
I love you, Mick.
You sulphurous and thought executing fires, vaunt couriers of oak cleaving thunderbolts. Singe my white head, and thou all shaking thunder, strike.
Finally, Willie, will you sing Hamlet's To Be or Not to Be speech to the tune of A, You're Adorable?
To be or not to be, that is the Christian way, that is nobler in the mind. To suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea, our troubles, and by opposing in them to die to sleep, no more am I asleep to say. We hit the heart again, a thousand natural shocks, the flesh is here to tis a con.
Let's go on to round, which is entitled... This is called Quoting Shakespeare. What, I wonder, can our teams make from a series of phrases or sayings first employed some 400 years ago? Well, apart from the script for the Jimmy Tarbuck show, they might like to introduce some culture into the proceedings by putting appropriate endings onto some famous quotes from Shakespeare's works. Willie, we're going to start with you. Will you conclude this saying? Some men are born great, some achieve greatness, and some...
run British Gas.
Barry, how about this, Barry? I know a bank whereon the...
former Foreign Secretary sits.
Graham, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your...
punchline.
Here's one for you, Tim. Though this be madness, yet there is...
Worse, late at night on Channel 4.
Another one for you, Willie. Et tu?
Et tu, but couldn't manage three Weetabix.
Barry, it is a wise father that knows his own...
blood group.
Graham, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more...
wet and windy, with a cold front moving in from the sun.
Hello.
Tim, blow winds and crack your...
underpants.
Right, well, it's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first, I notice we've been inundated by a card from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. Dear Dr. Clare, she writes, so pleased to hear that Tim Brooke Taylor is back. Without him, the show was like Hamlet without the balcony scene. Thank you, Mrs. Trellis. How true. On with the game, teams, which this week, in honour of our visit to Stratford-upon-Avon, will be played according to Tudor court rules. As many will know, this was the version of the game formally adopted by Henry VIII and one which Shakespeare himself is likely to have played. Obviously, the playing area was considerably smaller than today, and many streets were effectively out of bounds due to plague. But it's basically the same as the modern game. According to the popular Arden edition of the Tudor court rulebook, at the passing of the codpiece, 'tis the holder who may nominate, except when... except when out of croup. Well, I have with me the required piece of cod, which I shall now pass to you. Tim Brooke Taylor, will you start, please?
Tyburn. I'm handing the piece of cod to Barry.
Right. Received. I'm not in croup, am I, because of them?
No.
Right.
No,
no. Just got Curzon Street.
Pass us the fish, then.
I will lob.
But you...
what sort of radio show is it where you have to make your own sound effect? And quite frankly, a cod landing on a desk is bloody difficult. I don't know.
As you proved, so yes. Effectively.
Carry on, Willie.
Northumberland Avenue.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Ooh. This is Haddock, isn't it?
It was cod over here when it landed.
Doesn't travel well.
No. Globe Lane.
Ooh.
Pudding, you're right, it is Haddock Lane.
Ah.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Hay Hill.
He's out of croup, isn't he?
Croup.
I'm thinking, wait a minute. Well, it's a moot point. I'm going to rule that he's not, because it's a borderline case.
Okay.
Carry on, Willie, then.
Gin Alley.
That
fish is still breathing.
It's about the only thing that is.
Southwark Road.
Tower Hamlets.
Pie Corner.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Go on, Willie, go for it.
Shall have a glass of water first? No, excuse me.
You're out of time, Willie.
Morning, to you.
Oh, go on if you must.
No, I don't like to now. I prefer to accept that Mornington Crescent.
Yeah. That was a bit of an anticlimax on the whole, wasn't
it? Yes.
But then it used to be in the 16th century.
It's time now for a round of limericks. The simple rhyme scheme that still has devotees flocking to the Irish town of Stanza. Teams, I shall furnish you each with a fruitful first line, which I'd like you to continue in limerick form, taking one line each. We're going to start with you, Tim. That potty old monarch, King Lear,
was a martyr to chronic diarrhea.
He'd sit on his throne, emit a loud groan,
and nobody else would go near.
Excellent. Here's one for you, Barry. Oh, dear. That warrior Coriolanus
That warrior Coriolanus did several things that were heinous.
He tortured the cat.
Set fire to my hat.
And now he's been sick in my trainers.
Willie, here's one for you. That jealous old soldier, Othello.
That jealous old soldier, Othello, let out a stentorian bellow.
He fell on his sword.
And shouted, "Oh, God."
That's the last time that I'll play the cello.
Finally, Graham, here's yours. At an orgy, old Julius Caesar
met a virgin and tried hard to please her.
She said, "My name is Mimi.
Are you pleased to see me?"
Or is that the Tower of Pisa?
Okay, let's go on to the next one. This is a game called Blind Date. It's based on that old televisual favourite in which hapless individuals can only wonder what humiliations are in store for them when the screen is pulled back. That's Casualty. However, ours is a special Shakespearean version of the popular show hosted by Cilla Black. And teams, in this round, I'd like three of you to assume the identities of certain desirable male characters from Shakespeare. And as was traditional in Elizabethan times, our female chooser will be played by a male child actor. And happily we have in our midst the exceptionally childish Tim Brooke Taylor. But before Tim puts his question to them, let's find out the identities of the gorgeous men waiting for him behind the screen. Hello, number one. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello, Cilla. I am Richard Crookback, King of England.
Over to you, number two. What's your name, Chuck, and what do you do for a living?
I am Touchstone, stand up on Avon.
And finally, number three. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself, please.
I am a messenger from yonder, and the Queen, my lord, is dead.
Well, we've met the talent. Now let's meet our lovely chooser. And doesn't she look great? You're certainly in for a treat tonight, lads. Now, Chuck, do you have some questions you'd like to put to the boys behind the screen?
Yes, I do, Cilla. My first question is to Richard Crookback. Not a great start for us. I'm a keen market gardener. If you were a vegetable, what would you be?
Now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by this leg of pork. And what better vegetable to accompany it than a parsnip? Roasted well. I wench a noble parsnip I would be, a fine, straight, full-figured parsnip with a slight hump.
Well,
Touchstone, could you answer that, please?
Marry, madam, I would as lief be a mirthful marrow as a melancholy mango, a blight on your allotment, mistress.
And messenger?
Right, I'm still trying to remember the bloody messenger.
If you were a vegetable.
What ho, my liege? Stout Wessex. That's not it.
No.
A runner bean.
Oh, Scylla, I don't know which to... Shall I ask another question, Scylla?
If you want to.
I don't.
It's uncanny, isn't it?
I like going out for meals in expensive restaurants. If you were a spicy, exotic dish, what sort would you be and how would you make me want to eat you? Can I put that to number two, Touchstone?
If fate would I curry favour with you, fair maid, Poppadom, my queen, I would be your man and your nan, my chutney charmer.
Pardon? Number three, messenger.
Runner bean vindaloo.
What a spicy dish would, Richard, what would you be?
I fain would be a Yorkshire pudding, drenched in the o'erweening curry sauce, and topped withal a white rose with.
Well, ooh, hark at him. I've got a third one, Scylla. My hobbies are horse riding and going to the hairdressers. What animal would you be to make me want to saddle you, and how would you like your roots done? Number three, messenger.
Well, the wild boar, and as the roots, I think wild boar fertilizer, I think, at the back of a wild boar or something.
Richard III?
A buffalo. Bold and quick, and with a slight hump.
Is that a
Him
slight hump
would
on
I
the roots?
Be. Right. As to my roots,
right.
You know full well I like my parsnips roasted.
Touchstone.
I am a stallion, my sturdy saddle. Tie my girth and mount me. As for my roots, they are streaky, cheeky, dozy, beaky, me.
Well,
and
while...
titch, my Dunmo flitch.
Well, while Tim's making his choice, we now hear from Graham, who last went on a romantic holiday in Marbella with his chosen partner. So, Graham, was it a Laura fun?
No, Scylla, it was a disaster. She was unwell in the bus from the airport and again in the lift in the hotel. We missed the gourmet evening in the hotel because she wanted to go for fish and chips. And then every night, all night in the bar, sinking lager and really embarrassed me at the karaoke because I didn't know there was a dirty version of Nessun Dorma. And she insisted on going topless in the dining room with her pants on her head, smoking her pipe and trying to pull the manager. Disastrous from start to finish.
Ooh, I say. Well, next week, Princess Margaret will be giving her side of the story. Right, our next round is called Madrigal. How often, listeners, have you sat pondering what delights might be in store if our team members were to turn their talents to the musical pleasures of an Elizabethan madrigal? No, neither have I. In this round, teams, I'd like you to sing a madrigal whose title is to be provided by the opposing team. This musical lament will be accompanied by Colin Sell, and music doesn't come much more lamentable than that. Barry and Graham, you're to start. And will you provide a title for their madrigal piece, Tim and Willie?
We'd like their lute song to be A Midsummer Night's Dream, and make it as lute as you like.
Who's that on the banjo?
That's a turbo lute. I joined a band of strolling players.
'twas only for a lark.
We played a Midsummer Night's Dream in leafy Regent's Park.
I gave my bottom nightly, though my bottom's past its peak.
I did it in the open air. My case comes up next week.
Well, we're rapidly approaching the end of the show, but there's just time, I think, to fit in a round of Elizabethan Film Club. So while Samantha pops out to the local Shakespeare archive to enjoy the complete works, I'd like you teams to suggest some titles of films likely to be popular with an audience of Elizabethans. Willie, will you start, please?
The Armada They Fall.
When Harry Met Raleigh.
One Flew Over the Cuckold's Nest.
Bridge Over the River Thames.
The Good, the Bard and the Ugly.
Golden Hind.
With Doublet Hose 7.
Round the World in 3 Years.
Essex and the Single Girl.
Francis the Talking Drake.
Rebel Without a Codpiece.
Sword Fight at the OK Corral.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Marlowe.
Well, as the little Andrex puppy of time scampers onto the busy dual carriageway of destiny, and the extra strong meat vindaloo of fate confronts the toilet out of order sign of eternity, I notice it must be the end of the show. So from the teams, Samantha, myself, and the fine people of Stratford-upon-Avon, goodbye.
Tim Brooke-Taylor, Barry Trier, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton have been given Silly Things to Do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.